Looking at the latest economic numbers, the housing market really seems to be in a slump. Housing starts, in particular, are the lightest since May of 2020. Building permits, also the lowest in close to 5 years. And new home sales of existing homes seems to have slowed down a little bit. Maybe that's one reason Rogers Healy has diversified, and he did it some time ago. Rogers Healy, almost 20 years ago, founded what would become one of the largest, or the largest, I guess, independently owned real estate firm, Rogers Healy and Associates. But we've talked to him in the past about the land and lake business and property management. But how about the venture capital and private equity world? He's been there for a decade or so. We'll talk about that today. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
You just get anxious. You just can't settled in one place.
Yeah, I drink too much caffeine, I think. And I like new adventures. And yeah, real estate has been a huge blessing to my family and to me. And we'll always find a way to stay in it. But yeah, the other stuff, you know, it interested me a long time ago and decided to pursue it kind of more full time right before COVID.
This is an interesting business. And I look at some of the names that you've invested in, and a lot of these are really hard to get into. I mean, you know, SpaceX and XAI, you have to sort of be invited. But Tiff's Treats and Scooter's Coffee, a lot of fun investments. How do you decide what to invest in?
Yeah, I think, you know, investing can be defined with a lot of different definitions. I just define it as an initial gut instinct, right? It's like when I met my wife, I was like, man, I want this to be my wife. And when I heard my favorite song, I was like, Don Henley, Heart of the Matter. This is my new favorite song. And with investing, you know, whether it's something as crazy as SpaceX or as simple and delicious as Tiff's Treats, it just has to make sense for me. And I think that that's where it starts. And we raise money for all these deals as well. And I, you know, I have to be able to get behind it and authentically sell the brands too.
But I mean, on the one hand, it's you got to vet them. But like I say, some of these names are really hot names. I mean, how does Morrison Seeger Venture Capital Partners get invited to invest in SpaceX or XAI?
I'm pretty persistent.
Is that really what it takes?
I mean, no, I think I had a date to prom every year because eventually a girl would say yes. And I think that, you know, if you call enough people and if you have pretty good access and have a network of people that respects you, you know, if there's something that you really want to get in front of, you can probably find it within reason. And, you know, a deal like SpaceX, one of my mentors that has a venture firm allowed me to invest in a vehicle that he put together. And that's how some of these things kind of come together. But yeah, I think that, you know, it never hurts to ask. And I think that's what made me successful in real estate, is that worst case scenario, someone says no, or they tell you to pound sand, and that's okay. But that's also what makes the people that are, you know, successful separate from the ones that aren't, is that they have that level of boldness with their approach that eventually leads to something sticking. And when you get that first something that sticks, it makes you want to go and find the next one. And, you know, that's just kind of how I'm wired, and it seems to be working.
The list is really impressive, but I would assume there's some duds along the way. I mean, usually in venture capital, private equity, you have to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince.
Sure. You know, we've got a pretty good hit rate, and yeah, they don't all work. And sometimes the ones that you think are going to be massive home runs end up being massive strikeouts at the last second. But yeah, we're diversified pretty well. The majority of what we do is in the consumer space. It's stuff. It's stuff that I can promote, I can consume, I can, you know, I can wear. And that seems to be largely based on marketing, which is, you know, I think one of the backgrounds of the real estate companies is we were pretty decent at marketing and still are. But yeah, you never can tell. And a lot of the control is in the hands of people that maybe I don't have direct access to. And that's not necessarily exciting, but it sure as hell is a lot more exciting than the public markets, because you don't know what's going on. So yeah, look, you can never guarantee success, but our goal is to always get behind these companies and really help.
But at some point, I mean, this whole thing has to go full circle, and you have to take a profit and you have to move on. And so the exit strategy becomes important. And a lot of the conventional avenues for exiting, like going public, you know, have been closed for a long time. It's opening back up a little bit, but it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's all relative. And I think that the big news this year in consumer has been Poppy, which I was lucky enough to be an investor in from, I think, 2017 or 18 with my friend Denise in North Carolina. And that kind of set the bar for beverage. It sells for $1.8 billion. Pepsi buys it. And next thing you know, you know, hopefully Waterloo, which is one of our portfolio companies, will be the next multi-billion dollar exit. So it's there. It's just what's happening now too is the world is obviously not where it was a few years ago. And in a lot of ways it's better. But we have AI that's disrupted everything. Amazon announces this morning that they're going to make major layoffs with AI. And tariffs and interest rates and the leader of our country is not, he's polarizing, and I think that just comes with uncertainty. But what we have found are these larger companies prefer to acquire budding companies versus compete. And I think that's, again, that's real estate. REITs would go and buy, you know, developed properties that were stable as far as cash flow. And that model has worked for multiple industries. So yeah, I think it's going to open back up. It's just not the year that we were expecting.
You know, for a long time, cash was trash. I mean, you couldn't get anything on it. I mean, there was no reason at all. In fact, every distance center of the world to sit on cash. But now interest rates have gone on back up a little bit. People seem like are somewhat less, you know, more risk averse. Are you having any trouble attracting new capital to the partnerships?
Sure. You know, raising money, it's not easy, but the stuff that we do, you know, part of my initial diligence is that my wife and I invest in every deal that we promote. And that's part of the first, you know, that's part of the first part of the checklist. So I think people appreciate that I'm not just sending this out there and playing with other people's money. I'm getting behind it too. But we also live in Dallas, which has some affluence. But I've got a pretty good LinkedIn network as well, and not soliciting new investors, but we do a great job of promoting the deals that we're in. And every once in a while, David reaches out and says, "That's so cool. You're in SpaceX. How can I get involved?" Right? And then we add you to our distribution list, and then we have a deal that comes up in 3 months. And, you know, it's the long game, but there obviously is the goal of making money, you know, as quick as possible. And in private equity or in venture capital, it's not like you're going to double your money in 2 years or 3 years like you would in real estate. It might be a significant multiple in 5 years or 7 years. And I think that approach, rarely do people like it, but the ones that do really like it. And so I've just been trying to continue to build my bonfire of investors that like being a part of it for, you know, the potential ride to the moon.
So what about for on your end? I mean, this really provides a whole nother level of overhead and scrutiny when you're investing other people's money and registrations and filings and tax documents. And
yeah,
it really does. It take on several more layers than I would think you were used to in the real estate business.
Yeah, so I'm not a registered investment advisor. I'm not a licensed financial advisor. We do a thing called special purpose vehicles, which I'm essentially a professional connector, where we'll corral people and, you know, write one big check to Waterloo or to Snap's Clothing or to Goat Fuel. And then upon an exit, the investors get their money back. And then based off the multiple of return, my venture firm gets a percentage of the win. And so it's not a commission, because that's not obviously how it's arranged, but it acts essentially as sweat equity. And I think that obviously I have to really believe in this thing, because I'm only making money after my investors get their money back first, and then they make money, and then I do. And well, so, you know, these things are risky, but I believe in it.
So are they perpetual? If I invest with you, do I get a piece of, you know, OpenAI and Tiff Streets and Scooter's Coffee and on Infinitum?
No, because it's not a traditional fund, and when I initially decided to do this, my smart friends were like, "You should do a fund." I was like, "Yeah, I think I like the one-off stuff, because it's much like my real estate career, where I could have 50 listings at a time, and if David doesn't like this house, maybe he likes this house. If he doesn't like this building, he likes this building. If he doesn't like this ranch, he likes this ranch." So, you know, I've got kind of some stuff cooking all at once, but I will be announcing a fund in the next few months. But the rush of the one-off deals, you know, it's exhausting, but I love it. And I think I'm twisted enough to always have like five or six going at once. Yeah. And it seems to work.
So you're going to stay with the consumer deals, the sort of, you know, eat it, drink it, use it in the bathroom, get a good yield from it, that sort of thing.
Yeah. But stuff that's not controversial either. Stuff that I want my parents to be proud of me being a part of, right? We don't do anything that's CBD or that is, you know, controversial, that, you know, people would be like, "Oh my gosh, why are you a part of that?" And I think that just makes it authentic too, because a fundraiser at the end of the day is a promoter and a salesperson for the brand, whether the brand is yourself, it's a product, it's a technology company. And the stuff that we're behind, like I actively use, and I think that makes it fun.
A fascinating business. And like I say, you must get exposed to a whole lot of deals, and that would be a lot of fun trying to vet them. Rogers Healy is the, well, we know him as Rogers Healy and Associates on the real estate, of course, but here specifically, it's Morrison Seeger Venture Capital Partners.
There we go. You got it.
Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison, Van Morrison, and Bob Seeger.
David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.